Sustaining it live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hi Rita, are you there?
Kia ora, yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, what are we chatting about this evening for Sustaining it Live?
Yeah, look, there's so much going on in the world with heat waves and records being set around the world, and, you know, there is so much to talk about in that space, but I felt like we'd covered a lot of it before, and I thought we could do something a little bit different this week, which is some fun sort of engineering solutions that I came across that were quite nice, that helped with sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we could have a little chat about them. Some of them are pretty cool. I'm going to preempt this all with, you know, I think some of these things are a little bit like, you know, trying to rearrange deck chairs on a sinking ship,
mm-hmm.
on the Titanic. But so I don't think we're going to solve our problems. None of them are a silver bullet. And really, you know, the big issue is that we need to use less.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, it's really awesome that there's some people out there coming up with actual solutions to some of these problems and trying to find some solutions. So it's worth definitely celebrating them, and some are definitely better than others.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll crack into it. There's a thing called the Smog Free Project, which is pretty cool. So this is a 7-metre high tower that sucks out air pollution and forms it into jewellery, which is kind of pretty funky.
Mm-hmm.
So we're solving the air pollution problem and the consumption of jewellery in one go, which is great. So these towers are kind of dotted around the world. So there's some in South Korea and Mexico and Poland. So, and you know, I mean, my first, you know, as an environmentalist, my first thought was, like, this is what trees do. You know,
mm-hmm.
But I guess that there is, plus trees do other jobs as well, like slow down erosion and flooding and all that kind of stuff, provide shade. But I guess there is a place for this sort of thing in, like, those highly urbanised areas where there's just no scope for trees, which is where they're kind of putting them. So
this thing is like a smog vacuum cleaner tower.
Yeah, it's, and you know, they can suck out a pretty decent amount of air pollution. So and you know, create something positive out of it. So which is, you know, some jewelry. So that's kind of cool. The other one that's pretty awesome is a thing called Zephyr Solar. So this is a solar balloon. It looks a bit like a balloon, you know, like a giant helium balloon in the shape of a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be deployed in under an hour and fly for 30 days, which is pretty awesome because it's fueled by the sun. And it can do some things like observe wildlife and measure air quality, and probably the most important one is help coordinate during disasters and see what, you know, take you know, a snapshot of the area and feed it back to what needs to happen and stuff. So that's pretty cool, and I think, you know, as we go into this world where we're going to be hit more by climate change and big storms and stuff, that these sort of you know, tools will be quite helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of those places that can become overnight, you know, completely cut off. So finding out what's going on is key.
Okay.
The other one that's kind of pretty cool is called Bee Droid Robotic Bees. So for all of you that have seen Black Mirror, you know, it did sort of make me wonder where this will land. But they are little robotic bees that pollinate crops. So as most people will know, we've got some majorly declining bee populations around the world, and robotic bees aren't a completely new idea, but what's kind of nice about it, and I hadn't thought about it from this perspective, is that bees being used commercially to pollinate you know, our fruit trees, and often they are in like monoculture kind of situations, so they'll go in and they'll do a whole big apple orchard, and they actually move them around you know, to the next kind of apple orchard or whatever. And what that actually does is that actually works the bees really hard. So they're getting like a low nutritional value for quite high labour intensity work for them, which stresses them out and makes them susceptible to diseases and attacks by other insects. So I guess, you know, these robotic bees do a nice job of just giving them a bit of a break, which is quite nice. So when you think about it like that, it's you know, I guess it has a role, which is quite nice.
Artist's sketch here is just like, you know, like a classic looking drone, but really small. Do we know if the technology is there for this yet?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. So the problem with the tech behind it is that it's quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I guess it's like the price that you pay for food, you know, and with declining population of bees, you know, people are hand, in some countries they're hand pollinating, which is equally expensive. So it's one of those things that we do need to find a bit of a solution for. Mm-hmm. And I guess, if we can build up bee populations purely and give them, you know, like rotate them and give them a bit of a break, then they won't be in a position where they're so stressed that, you know, one disease can come and wipe out entire colonies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, instead of completely replacing the bees, the robotic bees may just give us a chance to give that bee population a break for a little while.
Okay.
So they can also have 4 weeks leave like we do.
Mm-hmm. What's next, Rita? What's another cool tech
innovation? Next one is called Growasis Waterbox. So that's a play on the Oasis, Growasis. So it's a Dutch company. The inventor is a Dutch flower exporter. Mm-hmm. So what he's done is these water boxes allow trees to grow in deserts and really extreme situations. So they have what they call an intelligent bucket, which is made from recycled paper, and it germinates the seeds and incubates the saplings and then waters the plant, but with using 90% less water than would be required in a traditional growing situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's fantastic news, especially in those like areas where we're seeing desertification, where the deserts are extending out and pushing beyond, where there was traditionally deserts. We may be able to reclaim some of that with some trees. So let's cross our fingers for that.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, and I love this, and if anyone wants to have a look, I highly recommend it because it's beautiful on your eyes. Supermarket Herb Garden. So there's a Dutch company called Albert Heijn, I think it's called, which introduced in-store herb gardens. And it literally is just walls and walls of herbs, and you can go and you cut your own sprigs. So there's no packaging there. Fantastic. And it's just so gorgeous to look at. And it just made me wonder, like, I wonder how far we could extend that. Like, you know, one of my favourite things to do in the summer is go and pick your own strawberries. And I know that doesn't really make sense because you couldn't have a strawberry field next to like apples or whatever, but I'm sure that there's, you know, some plants that will lend themselves very easily to growing indoors like that, like lettuce and stuff. So that's a really exciting area, and like I say, you know, go and Google it, it's beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that's super cool, solar glass. So the University of Michigan is working and developing this now. And what they want to do is replace all glass in homes with the solar glass. And if they can do that, then they believe they can power 40% of US current energy needs with the solar glass, which is really cool. I wasn't entirely sure exactly how it works because it's still in development, but it looks like it could be, you know, a nice solution for you know, some of our energy needs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was called Demetra, which was an all-natural, it's just a tiny tweak, right, but it's pretty cool. It's an all-natural fruit preservation treatment. So it means that, we do at the moment, I think we spray a lot of fruit and vegetables to last a little bit longer. This is an all-natural version that just extends it even beyond what we're getting at the moment. And it means that we're using less refrigeration and then therefore less food waste, which is really nice. And it's actually made out of fruit extract, so it's not anything too weird or scary. So that's kind of cool. And then a few more to go here. There was the sea bin, which is pretty cool. So there's 860 of these sea bins capturing, so far, 3.2 million kilograms, which is about 3.6 kilograms per day. And what they're doing is there's bags that sit in things like marinas and ports and harbours, so where there's kind of high concentrations of pollutants, and they filter out plastic detergents and oils, which is pretty cool, and they empty them once a month. So, capturing that sort of stuff at the source where a lot of that, you know, pollutants are coming from is quite a good idea before it gets to sea. And then this is quite cute, it's called S-Cafe, and it's fabric that's created from coffee grinds. So the leftover waste from all of our coffees, it dries 300 times faster than cotton does, and it's produced using a low temperature, so, you know, low energy needs to actually produce that. It absorbs odours and reflects UV rays, which is also quite a nice little add there. And a big shout out to hemp. I know that I'm sure we'll get some texts that's not a new technology, but I don't know why we don't use it more.
Yes.
So, yeah, some solutions for our fabric is always great.
The rest of the list, what are the highlights, Rita? Just if we're going to quickly...
There's only three more. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say, my two last favourite ones. The Fairphone, which is an ethical smartphone, which allows you to replace components rather than actually the whole phone. It's like genius, but also, come on, why don't we have this already?
Totally.
And then the last one, which I would just shout out to, is called an Outer Wall Eco ATM. So what we're seeing now is actually mining for these minerals that we're using in our electronics is starting to become, you know, more expensive because these components are quite hard to find, or these minerals are quite hard to find. So they're actually starting to find more success mining our tips, like our rubbish tips, for these components that was thrown away in our e-waste. So what this does is it's actually an ATM machine which you can put in your electronics in, your rubbish electronics, and it gives you cash for them.
Okay.
So it makes mining for these little components and the minerals a lot easier because they're actually all where they're supposed to be.
Yes.
So that also is seems like a no-brainer, super easy one to do.
So it's kind of like an old-school can machine. You put your phone in, you just get some cash back.
Isn't it funny that a lot of these ideas kind of come from, like, ideas that we were doing before, you know? Like, they kind of come from a place and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, why haven't we been doing that the whole time? Like, yeah, fixing old phones. It's not really a new idea. It's just we just sort of lost our way for a while there.
Yeah,
and it's just a big shout-out to the engineers that are working on these sorts of ideas. So,
awesome. All right, Rita Steele, hey, thank you very much. We'll check in with you next Monday.
Yeah, sounds good. Have a great week.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.